no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left. Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
First of all, at the top of the show, I want to address certain controversial.
Oh, you're talking flowers?
Like, Kissel. I mean, you're busting this for me.
You're talking weeds?
No, you're busting this fucking for me. I want to address the controversial topic that is at the center of every American conversation right now. Uh-huh. And I want you all to know our stance on it and how important it is.
Are you
going to
speak for me on this?
Yes.
Oh my God. Well, I'm a little nervous now.
Just so you know, this is a big, again, obviously the whole country's kind of torn apart. We may be a little bit late on this, but I want us to say, who gives a fucking shit about daffodils or dandelions?
You are about to have a mutiny on your hands, my friend. The flower people are coming for you.
I've heard.
I didn't know the horticulturalists were so aggressive.
I've heard.
I also didn't quite realize how unbelievably sensitive people can be.
Well, of course, they're flower scientists, okay? But I get it. There is a difference. Maybe we were confused. I was also in Kissel's world. I'm going to blame being a part of Kissel's world for a second.
It is a lifestyle that not everyone can handle.
It's true.
I just tried to make a hero of the week that involved a millionaire planting flowers, even though he could have saved a lot of children.
He could have done
anything else.
No one
seemed to care about that part.
No. But again, you know what? I also heard about fucking daffodils. Yeah, so now I know. It wasn't dandelions. It was daffodils that he was planting in the field. But guess what? Dandelions are fucking poisonous to dogs.
That's exactly what I was saying.
So how about garbage with, literally, he might as well be Putin. Putin just, you see him Putin with? When they were in Ukraine. They went to Ukraine, and they're trying to make him say, oh, no, stop hitting me. Oh, man. Meanwhile, Putin's like, oh, you're hitting yourself. Quit hitting yourself, right?
That's about right.
I'm boiling it down. Yeah. And then Putin, he poisoned them, just like that fucking millionaire with the daffodils trying to fucking poison old ducks. So fuck him, fuck daffodils, fuck dandelions, fuck Putin, fucking let's go with the goddamn shot.
All right, also people also ask, according to Google, are daffodils and dandelions the same? The answer, according to sciencealert.com, they're both the same plant. All right, everyone, welcome to Side Stories.
I feel like the argument has been done. We did it.
I don't even know anymore, and that also could be wrong. Apparently, daffodils versus dandelions is something that people constantly Google. I didn't know they were fighting.
And then guess what, motherfucker?
I have no clue what the hell is wrong with them. This is Side Stories. I'm Ben. That's Henry.
This is me. I guess what, man? In Atlanta, one of you funny little people.
Love Atlanta.
One of you funny little people. Honestly, love Atlanta. So my second home. It was so good to see everybody.
So
honestly, we had some of the best live shows we've had all tour this weekend.
Oh, it was so much fun.
But then one of you little fuckers, you showed up. What you thought was funny little daffodils, right? Like,
sure.
Oh, we'll torture them all.
I thought that was kind of cute.
It was really fun. But guess what? You know what I found out?
What?
Weren't daffodils at all.
What were they?
Jonquils.
They were Jonquils.
So you were also wrong.
Wow.
That person trying to roast me from the fucking inside out was also incorrect. Fuck Putin. Fuck daffodils. Fuck polonium.
Leave my daffodils out of your mouth. Daffodils out of your mouth.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? Yeah, my wife gets fucked by every man in town. But you better leave.
I don't even want to comment on it.
You didn't have to. I'd have to do it. I did it for you.
Good work. 48 hours after the news cycle, thank fucking Christ it's passed.
But you know what? It was kind of refreshing, wasn't it?
No.
The slap heard around the world.
It wasn't.
To me,
I don't want
to
talk about it.
But you know what that is?
I really don't want to talk about it in any way, shape, or form.
It's Stephen versus Irene.
That's the best. That is the big slap.
That's what I wanted to talk about. All right. So we actually.
Talk about what I think I wish I could have done after Sunday?
What could you have done after Sunday?
A group jump with my whole family off a building.
Well, now, how high is the building? Also, it's just you, Natalie, and Wendy.
I know. I want somebody else's family. I'm going to take somebody else's family.
Yeah, because I feel like if you're going to do a group jump, it can't just be you, your wife, and the dog, because then it's a murder-suicide.
It's a murder-suicide.
And then Wendy is also like, did you have to kill the dog?
It's dog-icide.
Also, I don't know. I think little dogs, they can fall. I have seen Jerry fall so many. Like, I swear to God, little dogs can fall. Squirrels can fall.
From a seventh-floor balcony?
Side Stories, LPOTL @gmail.com. How far has your little dog fallen? Because I want to say they could survive a fall.
They could.
A seventh floor? Because they're so little?
Well, I think, or they're like one of those little maple leaves where they just spin.
Because Wendy's got little folds. It's cute. Just like father. Like daughter, like father. All right. So now this is, they think that this might be cult activity. But it's a cult alert. Blah, blah, blah.
This is cult alert.
Four family members died and one seriously injured in an apparent, what they're calling a quote unquote group jump. And I think they like this. They like calling it a group jump. This is a French family. It was a 40-year-old
French,
man.
The French fall hard. The fromage, the wine.
The cream.
I feel like the French are one of those, you look at a vessel of French. Roberto Benigni, for example.
He's Italian.
Whatever. But he's tiny, right? And
sure.
You think of
thin.
A Frenchman, thin. And you look at him, you're like, they're very thin, but they're thick and they're full and they weigh a lot more than they look. That's
more,
why the French are secretly very powerful.
It's the butter.
It is the butter.
Fat content of their food.
Exactly.
They live longer and they still smoke and they love it.
That's why I love the French. I have no idea how they live longer, but they do. And that is because they are on a healthy diet of all cheese-based products.
It's because they only work 7 hours a week.
Aww.
Now, this French family was a 40-year-old man, wife, 41. And then the two twin sisters, they were 8 years old. And they jumped. The couple's son, who also jumped, was 15, was seriously injured, but lived. Now, they don't know what happened. So apparently this is a Swiss family that has already had a lot of attention from the police. And they have been, I guess, wheeled. There's not a lot of details that have come out about the story. I was looking into it because it is really interesting. The idea of a group family jump, I find, is, obviously, macabre, but also very, like, again, it's so hard to get a family to even agree what restaurant to go to.
Well, absolutely.
How do you get everybody to jump off the building?
Well, that's the sign of good parenting gone horribly wrong, because they got their children to do what they wanted. But unfortunately, what they wanted was to jump off of a building.
It was suicide.
So the four people were pronounced dead at the scene, an 8-year-old girl, the child's mother and father, and the mom's twin sister. And a 15-year-old boy is said to have catastrophic injuries and is in grave condition.
It shows you the human body is hard to kill.
Yeah, it can be.
If you don't blow up the head.
If you fall on the rest of your family and it breaks your fall, that is, if I'm this 15-year-old, I'm like, just pull the plug. I don't even know what I'm going to do.
I don't know.
How do you live like this?
Well, or you do come out of it. Maybe one thing that could be good if they do happen to live, maybe it'll help them understand what happens to them. Or maybe they can actually describe to the police what the fuck went on inside that house. So actually seemed to have spurred on the jump was that apparently in Switzerland. I imagine this sounds nice, much better than our system. If you have a homeschool situation, so these kids were homeschooled, which is why they think it's some form of religious cult activity, because they got pulled away from society.
Sure.
We didn't know what was happening, but
we were homeschooled for a little while when I was growing up, but you know what that taught me? How to go shopping at Piggly Wiggly. Because my mom used to say, well, you want to go shopping at Piggly Wiggly? I'm like, that's a great lesson to learn today, Mom. And then, but you know what she did truly do?
What?
I would count up how much our products cost as we were shopping. And then I would try to guess what the tax would be. Actually good. It worked.
It sort of trains you just to become a manager at Piggly Wiggly, which honestly is that's not a bad career.
It's not a bad career at all. Absolutely not. I'm just saying, my parents, we weren't doing suicide rituals and preparing to one day jump from a 7-story building.
Not yet.
Not yet.
You didn't get there yet.
No.
But so apparently in the Swiss government, what they have to do is, and maybe I'm incorrect, sidestoryslpotl@gmail.com. Tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I think, I don't know if it's this different, but there, every year, you have to go and let the government come into your home and look at your homeschooling, like, setup. They have to look at what you're teaching them, and they have to approve. I know that in order for you to, like, let's say, I had friends that were homeschooled that then went into a public high school,
right,
that what they would do is they would have to test in. Like,
yes,
a lot of times,
I actually had a chance to skip 4th grade.
Oh, wow.
Because I tested into 6th grade. Because of the homeschooling, and then, I mean, actually, my mom must have taught me something.
Yeah,
I knew how to read.
Well, you're bright in your way.
In my way.
Yeah.
Yes. Not in math. I'm not building bridges.
You better not be. If you are,
emotional bridges through society, because obviously we need to heal.
Also physical bridges, because you can really lay your feet on one side of a gap and then grab it onto the other side, and then a bunch of small people can run across your back.
That's why people like me are needed when people go on amazing journeys.
But you will die in that scenario.
No.
You will fall. Your grip will fall.
Oh, no. I would have to come back towards the end and save everybody. Someone my size doesn't really die. Now you're the huckster, the jokester. Oh.
Is that me?
You have to sacrifice yourself for the greater whole.
I'm not going to, though. I'm going to have you know this right now.
You have to.
I want everyone at home to know.
That's the rule.
I'm not doing it. I'm not going down with the fucking ship. Well, then I'm not Picard.
Then I'm not writing jokes for you. And then you're gonna have to be the incel character then. Who also dies.
I guess so.
It's fine.
But so the Swiss government, they showed up to do their yearly checkup on them to see whether or not, like, you guys neo-Nazis? Let's just find out. And then they went in there and they found out they knocked on the door. They were like, Swiss police, we are here to take your chocolate. And then outside,
it smells like them.
They heard them scuttle around, right? Obviously going on the other side.
Like Ace Ventura.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they heard the squiggle and they said, but the thing was, again, interesting, it's a liberal country. They have to have true probable cause to just bust into your door.
Oh, it's not like here where they just bust it down, start randomly shooting and ask questions later.
And put a gun in your dead hand and then sprinkle some crack on you like the Dave Chappelle bit.
So it's different there.
Yes, okay. In its own way.
I actually do learn a lot. I love French protests. The French are like, fuck with me for 1 second. We protest for years.
They understand.
I love the French.
They understand that there are more of them than there are people in the government. Mm-hmm. And all they have to do is stop showing up to work. And then things somehow magically change.
And if I move to France, it's not like America. America is a melting pot. You assimilate, but then also you bring your culture. You add spice.
Absolutely.
In France, I'm just French.
Oh, you better
I'm not complaining. I'm not going to say anything. But that's the borscht is too cold. I'm not mentioning anything.
But that's the other problem, too, is if you're not French, then they're super rude to you.
Yes. That's why I would.
Now fuck your wife. They'll do whatever possible. They won't let you eat there. They won't let you have access to the chase.
Keep that salami out of your mouth.
That's why I like Italy.
I love Italy.
But so the Swiss police, they knocked in, but because they did not hear anything suspicious, they couldn't enter the door forcibly, so they knocked again. We're like, please, and we're men now, can we pretty please, give me a sand? And then they all plummeted to their death. They watched them all walk to the top of the building, jump off. So who fucking knows?
This is according to a neighbor. This is what they told a quarter. I mean, I'm not going to do an accent. Henrik can probably do it, but he said it was 6:45. I got out of the shower, had a coffee, and heard a thud.
Oh, yeah.
Then he says, I thought it was a bad film. I couldn't look at the image for more than a few seconds. So I guess he looked at it, and then he judged the quality of the suicide and said, it's not quite Jerry Lewis.
They really spread themselves out as some kind of star pattern. Yeah. It would be nice if there was some kind of artistic kind of direction for their series here.
I'm also forgetting the name of this fantastic zombie film. It's a French film. It came out about 4 years ago. It all takes place in this apartment complex.
Oh,
it is
I know what you're talking
just
about.
Just Google. You'll be able to find
it's
Google.
It's really, really good.
But it's so freaking badass. It reinterprets the zombie film in a way.
What is that movie? Powerful. Oh, Mutants. The Horde. It's either Mutants or Horde.
I want to say The Horde. Yes. I think The Horde sounds right.
Fucking, anyway, that's from Horde 13 years ago.
They are you fucking kidding me?
Yes, we are fucking dying soon.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Okay, I don't want to think about that. Mm-hmm. Either way, this family did not come back as zombies. One did. Maybe the youngest. Either way.
I hope he can shed some light, because now they are going through the apartment trying to figure out what the hell happened. We're going to hopefully also find out as interested people whether or not there was some form of, it could be religious cult. Could be, what do we know about family annihilators? That if the father had lost his job, and then the mother maybe is...
Go to work! Where's the job? Where's the money? The kids are going to starve! Oh,
I don't know what she's like. Sure. Or she lost her job. Let's go.
Go to work! The kids are going to starve! Oh, my God! There. We're doomed!
Yeah. Your breasts better be working today, because I'm home vacuuming. Like, yeah, maybe. Who knows? Or is it something even more nefarious? But I do hope that more news comes out very soon.
Absolutely. And of course, please, God, feel free... You know, people criticize people all the time for walking out on their family. Sometimes that's the best option.
Always
bail. If the other option is killing them or having them jump off a tall building, walking away, and then 15 years later, then you can tell them I was going to kill you. And then they would say, you know what, Dad, Mom, I forgive you. It wasn't great.
But still,
thank you
I'm
for
alive.
Not killing me.
I'm alive. Well,
actually, as a matter of fact, I just watched for the first time Ghostbusters Afterlife. And I have to say, I know the movie doesn't need my plug, but I loved it. It was so fun. And that movie was about a daughter trying to connect with a father, and it was powerful.
You've become my mother. You've become my mother.
But that really is the movie.
You guys get that movie just finally got the well-deserved Kissel bump about 5 months after it came out, and it's really important for somebody to stick up for these major blockbuster films.
I know, someone has to. I mean, they're all over soon enough, but planes make me more emotional. There is a scientific study that says you cry more in planes.
It's lack of oxygen.
The final scenes of Ghostbuster Afterlife. Oh my God.
They are all very old.
They are, but I actually, Marcus and Henry and I have different opinions on all of this. I like seeing old people.
I'm the opposite. Well, I talked about this. I wish that the whole movie was the old guys and no new children. I like Paul Rudd, but I don't need him in there. I love the movie Old Dogs and Space Cowboys.
You're thinking of Wild Hogs.
But Wild Hogs, isn't there also Old Dogs?
Is it Old Dogs or Wild Hogs?
Because what if you can't teach old dogs new tricks?
You can teach an old dog to suck its dick.
You can, by folding it in half.
And when you get older, you get more flexible.
Because one had Tim Allen in it, yes. And one had Morgan Freeman in it.
Wild Hogs, Top Dogs? I don't remember.
Top Dogs? Who knows? Everyone's yelling at their radio right now.
Either way, if you're watching a movie with old men, you're going to want some beer.
But I wanted it to be all old men.
I know. You like the movie, like Cocoon.
I'm just saying, I want to see them do things. I want to see Peter Venkman.
I have a great food-based website for you to go to. It's called Lemon Party.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah. It's all about lemonade.
Oh, let me look that up. Oh, yeah. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, don't let the pretty woman know. Wow, it's still up. Wow, Lemon Party's still up.
It never won't be. And for those that haven't seen Lemon Party, give it a Google when the kids aren't around.
Lemonparty.org. It is a government website.
I want to do this one story.
Oh, yes, please.
Because the mind. I have said
I just can't believe I just saw that picture again. It's been so long. What a blast for the past.
It's almost innocent now, isn't
it?
The mind is a powerful thing. And the worst thing that can happen to the mind is when the body shuts down around it, but the mind is still strong. That's called Lou Gehrig's disease.
That is my fucking ultimate nightmare. I don't want to be trapped in me because my mind is worse with a working body. My mind is horrible.
Thankfully, science! It is coming to the rescue of the people who are currently trapped in their own bodies. There's a man who had Lou Gehrig's, paralyzed. He's now only 36 years old. This happened to him in around 2019. He became in a self-locked-in state. I was sleeping is my favorite thing to do. I love my little brain sometimes. I feel like I could make a metaverse. I think I could make a metaverse in my brain.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it could also go south.
Oh, yes.
And then I'm in hell forever.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to be trapped in one of those dreams where it's like a play and I don't have the script or I'm getting R'd by fucking George Washington or something. I don't need that. You know, I hate that. It really scares
me. Unless it's July 4th.
Yeah, then it's like, well, thank you for your service.
So he's 36. He had two square electrode arrays surgically implanted into his brain, right? So he's just sitting there. And then now, because of these electrodes, they're able to kind of figure out like what the dude wants.
They basically set it up, and it creates a neurofeedback paradigm where he figures out a way. What they'll do is they present letters in front of his physical eyes, and then within his brain, he's able to say yes or no with a specific signal, so he gets to slowly build sentences over a period of time.
And like all good men, the first two things that he said are so, I'm just going to say the C word, they're cute. He said, I want a beer.
I mean, that's not cute. That speaks to my soul in such
a
way.
Could
you imagine 3 years of no beer?
Also, why can't they just go and like tip him up a little bit and then the kid can give a little PBR?
I'm certain he might not be able to swallow. But he apparently what they're saying is that he can taste enough because he likes curry and stuff. So they changed up the food that goes up into his throat tube that goes down into his throat because it's
not chicken vindaloo.
Because you know what
because
else?
Because I'll tell you that thing. I had that yesterday and it is currently tear me up.
You know, and this is true. You can taste just as much through your butt as you can through your mouth.
That is, no, your butt does
absolutely
not. No, Henry.
Absolutely.
Actually, this
can.
Is where I get mad at you. This is my broken clock moment.
Nope.
Because if you could taste through your asshole, you would be tasting shit every day.
Can you
five
taste?
Times a day? No.
I'm looking up right now.
That is so.
I'm looking up right
I am
now.
So can happy there are taste buds.
Through your butt. Okay. Recently, researchers are finding that the taste buds are present from the mouth to the anus.
No.
And
that
actually, the testicles have taste receptors as well.
You are, no, I am not even dealing with this.
Now, yeah, and then Resetera says, you could taste your anus, or is that an urban myth? And then someone says like, oh yeah, well, technically, all right, hey, listen, I can't find conclusive evidence on Google. People say you can taste stuff through your ass. Does anybody know the validity of the statement?
Do you want to sound like that guy?
Well,
do you want that person to sound like you?
Yeah, I mean, he's just curious and with a dumb voice. But
well,
yes,
the man requested,
it's just different. It's a different type of taste.
He requested different types of food to be fed through his tubes, including goulash soup, sweet pea soup. And he says, for food, I want to have curry with potato, then bolognese and potato soup. At what point do we say like, okay, buddy, we're not fine dining
yeah,
here.
What is
it's
this?
Still a hospital.
Oh,
right?
No,
but
we.
Then the second thing he requested other than beer and food, he told his son he loved him.
He said, I love my cool son.
Isn't that nice?
That is really nice. He didn't need the extra letters.
This really isn't true crime, but from a science perspective and, of course, just, I don't know, from the brain, I just think it's interesting. And as someone, I've seen some people with ALS. It's the single saddest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, it's very scary.
At this point, I still think if I got diagnosed with it, speaking of jumping off a tall bridge, I'd give myself a month and then I kind of roll off
tall. I would definitely. We all have a pact. If we are in a, I will. If we are all in a coma that there's no way we're coming back from, I will definitely pay a sex worker to have them come. Because like my wife, Natalie's going to do it to me. I'll make sure that someone comes to your bed, a big woman.
But I want to make sure.
And kills you with her tits or her
I
butt.
I want to make sure that they don't get prosecuted, though.
No, that's why I'm going to make sure that they wear a mask, like some kind of balaclava, or I think that you just get him in and out there. We'd say it's some kind of religious thing. But like, honestly, can we put a yarmulke on her and say, he's very Jewish. This is very deep within the Orthodox Jewish parameters. Can I just say that?
I think if it was accurate, maybe that could be a way out. But I don't think that is.
Just make it up.
I'm sure I could sign up. I could create my own religion that has a mandated
ending clause.
And then, yes, perhaps we can wiggle our way through that. I mean, hey, Scientology can do it. So why can't we?
This is all I don't understand. All right. So I'm looking deeper if whether or not you can taste in your fucking rectum. But what it's saying here is that, like, this is the example they use. Well, like, yes, of course, if you do rub capucin from a pepper into your lips, your nose, and then also place the same capucin on your
tasty.
Anus. Yeah, obviously not. No, I know that's incorrect. That's just saying, you're saying burning my asshole with fucking pepper juice. Yeah, I
exactly.
can feel that. Yeah, I can quote unquote taste that. You're pouring fucking pepper, you're pouring hot sauce into my fucking asshole.
The only way we could do this is if we would have to get a time machine, become Howard Stern, and do this in the early 90s, where we would have five models all get different food placed in their assholes. And if they could tell us that's ketchup, then I would say, wow, you can really taste that's mustard. And if God knows the poor guy who gets the spicy brown mustard, that's going to burn it up. But at this point, I think it's safe to say you can't eat. You can't taste through your asshole. So don't eat through your asshole.
Of pepper up inside your nose, you'd feel the same burning sensation. Yes, but what else? What else can you taste? Honestly, I would love to know. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. If you tasted with your butt recently, fucking tell us. Honestly, give us content.
I know that people do it with the butt chugging and things like
that.
But
you just get hammered that way. It goes through the membrane.
Exactly.
Not much easier.
And I never heard of anybody tasting, I don't think. Again, I don't.
Because it's probably Natty Light. If you're butt chugging, this isn't the good stuff.
I would not butt chug Macallan 12.
Like a triple. Like, it's not one of those Belgian nice beers. You're not going to get a Trappist.
No, I actually only butt chug IPA.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, bro. You butt chug Natty Light, bro? A butt chug IPA.
Actually, a bunch of stout up your butt might be nice.
Could cleanse it.
Ooh, a stout enema?
We might have.
Does that happen?
We'll have some time in Ireland, and we'll be able to figure out what to do with all that Guinness.
I'm sure if we ask some Irish guys, hey, do you think you can pour some Guinness up my ass? It'll go really well.
I remember now one of the things I said on stage in Ireland, that there's only one cup of Guinness that's ever been created, and you just shit it out. Because it is, wow. It's
thick.
It's the exact same.
Live from your grave.
All right, now here we go. This is a dream that some people have, but you shouldn't. I feel like this is a good cautionary tale about living out your fantasies at work and what you should or shouldn't do. And also, a thing that I say here at Last Podcast Network that I think is really important, I think is very presidential of me, never in writing. If you want to have, say, anything that's really fun, something outside the box, you keep it
but if you
in a person-to-person conversation, on a balcony, somewhere where neither one of you live.
But if you don't put it in writing, how can you make it real? That's, I mean, this is called a vision chart.
Keep it up here.
Yeah, but...
Keep it up here. Draw it into a sigil.
Draw it into a sigil, even know. Perhaps. Okay.
No, this is Utah man. He's charged after his boss found his employee hit list on his desk. Now, this isn't like a hit-on list. This isn't like, I think Becky's cute.
Well, that would probably be a worse offense, but today's office culture, yes, I would say, hello, watch out. I'm going to say this, though. Maybe the man had a hit list because his boss is a Snoopy Doopy. Get the heck out of my desk. This is my desk. This is my area when I worked for 8 months in a corporate setting. Yeah. Oh, it was horrible. I took a shit next to Bill O'Reilly. Ooh, speaking of something that I wish he could taste out of his ass.
You should have fucking... All the times you've been around him when you could have tried to suck his dick and get some fucking evidence on him. You could have done anything possible. We just talked with Fernando about wearing a wire and going down to one of these cocaine and fucking, what are these, senator parties they're all doing.
Yeah,
and
Madison going Cawthorn down there, was invited to
being
one.
A human coffee table over there, like getting some poo-poo on you, but guess what? We'll forget a whole list of who's there because LPN investigates. Now, this Utah man, Kevin Michael German, he's 56 years fun, and he was an
German with a J, by the way. Don't know why I feel I have to clarify that.
I think it's important. So they didn't know what was going on. He was a U.S. Army veteran. In this article, he claims to have served in Iraq. He's charged with making terrorist threats, which is a felony. And this is what the thing is. They found the note, and this is what the note said. And this is why they actually prosecuted him, is because they said they looked at his military background and they felt that he had both the know-how and the tools to be able to do these actions.
Yeah, cops said they think he had firearms knowledge, he had experience to carry out the plan, he'd written down on a paper, but yeah, especially with his military background, but yeah, okay.
So is this a fantasy? We talked about this before.
I'm looking at it now, I see. Okay, go on.
So is this a fantasy or is it a direct plan? Again, cannibal cop comes up again and again. Is it a fantasy or is it an actual plan? So this is what his note said.
Okay.
Bring 9mm with 3 clips equals 36 rounds. Bring 9mm assault rifle with 2 extended clips. That equals 20 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Bring Smith & Wesson 22 caliber with extended mags. 3. That's 65 rounds.
3 guns thus far.
First take out 2 and shop 2. Then take out whoever is in loadout 2. Then the mineral office 3. Then whoever is in the handout area 2 or 3. Next take out skid loader operator 1. Then the office take out 3. Then 1 in the CUG loadout. That's 14 total kills. Have to take out internet so no calls from the landline. Build cell jammer so signals could be jammed. If police arrive, take a position high up to use snipe, to use 308mm for this.
Is it weird that it breaks down... I play Call of Duty sometimes.
Sure.
It breaks down almost like a nerd writing down how they would go and commit, a Call of Duty mission or something like that. The weird thing about it is, as Henry just read it, that's verbatim. There is no like, hi, my name is Stu, and this is why I'm mad.
Well, he didn't even like frame it with like, you could have been like in an imaginary world where bad things happen. This is a thing that could happen. Because what he said afterwards, which is one of my favorite defenses ever, it's one of my favorite type of defenses, where he was like, what you guys don't understand is that was a plan if somebody did all that for me to think what they're thinking so I can outthink them and stop them.
First of all, thank you for your service. Second of all, I am, it's going to take, a felony is a very serious charge.
It'll
take a lot more than just that letter, in my personal opinion.
Did you fart?
No, I did not. It would take a lot more, in my personal opinion, to charge this man with a felony because that's life-changing shit.
Well,
and as far as I know, it's just a letter. And okay, again, we don't condone violence. Truly don't. But office settings beat the fuck out of you. They beat you down. They're emotionally draining. Your boss yells at you.
There's nothing illegal about fantasizing, but you don't write the note and put it inside of your office and then have all of the guns that he listed in his note. This is the thing. He had all of the guns. He had the extended mags. He had all of the shit he was talking about. He had the when they went to his home, they had all of whatever his fantasy idea about building a cell phone jammer. It was all there. So technically, he did have every single one of the things that he said that was in the letter. Technically, when the cannibal cop did his defense was correct because he didn't have
all of
the accoutrement.
He had the rope. He had the names. But he had the addresses. He used the police database.
He didn't have all the stuff he wanted.
Is a human size? That's just an oven.
You bend up a body? I could put you in.
This is thought crime.
I'm not even going to say the sentence because of my roots. But
interesting. Oh yeah, it sounds like it's more like genetic knowledge coming through that you would know how to properly dispose of a group of human bodies inside of giant engineered ovens.
I set you up for that, and I deserve
you
to be thanked.
You did.
I'm just saying, I could shove you in a series of small heated rooms. That's all I'm saying. So that is an oven is a human size oven.
I'm just saying this is not thought crime.
According to the affidavit, German told investigators that he wrote the note on Wednesday during a lunch break. He tried to explain. He was, quote, just thinking about.
I didn't do it at working hours. I did it during an unbillable time.
That's
also, my person type.
You should get paid on your lunch break as well.
Yes.
But that's a whole nother thing. We're going to talk about that on Top Hat. Fuck Applebee's and the CEO. I'm never going there again. Okay. He tried to explain that, quote, he was thinking about what would happen if there was a mass shooting.
So
but true talk,
stupid.
When you're in an office, you do an hour of work a day. There's no need to be there for 8 hours. It's a total farce.
It's all fake. Right? Most of working in office is faking having work to do while inside of the office.
It's waiting until you can go to the bathroom, but not to the point where people think you have a medical condition.
I would go to the bathroom.
So every 30 minutes.
Yes. Normally what I would do is I would do one 45-minute sesh in the stall each half of day. So I would divide up the day I would go to lunch about 1. From 9 to 1, I would pick a 45-minute window where I milled around the bathroom.
Absolutely.
Then went inside of the bathroom, stayed in there, put my feet up on top of the toilet so no one can even see you underneath the stall. Then I come out and I would do the same somewhere around 3:30 to 4:30.
That's called being the office gargoyle. So he was talking about mass shootings. And hey, you know what, buddy? As soon as they don't happen, then this man doesn't have to think about them, but they happen all the freaking time. So this is what he says. He said, I told Kevin that when I read the note, that it is not what I think the note means.
That's not what you think it means. And that's how you know it is what you think it means. When a man has to yell, that's not what you think it means.
Well, and then he explained to Kevin his concerns about his inside knowledge and the plan he had to climb on top of the tower and snipe law enforcement.
Well, this is why he also got really, the reason why they're also pointing towards it, because he had some really hardball thoughts about political correctness. Because he said this, like he did a little funny Facebook thing where, you know, they had a conversation between a gunny sergeant and a normal sergeant. Sergeant, we had a Marine use the open door policy today, involves you. Okay, Gunny, did you tell PFC Snuffy to shut the fuck up and get back to work? Absolutely. Reason being, because I didn't want PFC Snuffy to continue speaking and I wanted her to get back to work. I understand, but what caused you to say that? Well, after I put out what needed to be done for the day, PFC Snuffy was being told what to do and kept asking why. So after the third why, I calmly told PFC Snuffy to shut the fuck up and do what the fuck she's told. Then after she made the sad face, I told her to get the fuck back to work. You can't just curse at non-rates like that. Why, Gunny? Because he can't anymore, Sergeant. But why, Gunny? Because these Marines are too sensitive and they complain about everything.
Oh, that's pretty basic, Gunny.
Because I goddamn said so. Ah, shit, motherfucker. Well, I'd like to use the lieutenant's open door policy, Gunny. You get the fuck out of my office. Why? He did it again. He should write for Fallon. That's funnier than any single thing that is on late night comedy.
It really is.
But yeah, he was against all political threat. He was against that. That's an indictment right there.
It is really not, but 56 years old Army vet, I would expect nothing else. And of course, when it comes to all of those things, anyone's allowed to speak as they want to freely, but be careful. Social media, as Marcus says in the live show, is a virus and it's not real.
It is not
apparently
real. Our employees are free to speak, though.
Absolutely.
Fernando can have whatever opinion he wants about the show.
We have to speak. That's our job.
But I'm saying Fernando can speak. Our employees are allowed to say whatever they want. Technically, I've caught 3 or 4 kill lists from our employees. And you know, in each one of them, I say creative. What I do is a lot of times I give structural notes.
Oh, is that right?
Hey, actually, what we need is like, why are you killing up top
you
first?
You want the why.
Then how, then what you'll do afterwards, and then shout outs. Because if we're not doing it Dorner style, there is no reason to do a kill list.
Shout out to Hillary. Okay, so he apparently Billy Kevin German, he suffers from headaches and migraines constantly.
Oh, wow. Oh, no.
And he has type 2 diabetes, high cholesterol, blood pressure, Parkinson's, joint pain.
Oh, no. Not Parkinson's.
And then he also takes a ton of medication. And on a daily basis, it includes injections of morphine. So can we just say, maybe that's why the letter is a little bare bones. I think that his brain isn't creative at this point. If you're constantly on a morphine drip, I'm just happy he can still write. But you know,
morphine's
what?
A lot.
Maybe at this point, truly, it seems like he might need some medical attention. And he says he was enlisted. He had the opportunity to participate in Desert Storm.
Why does he act like that's fucking like it's the Golden Globes? It is. You were a soldier during Desert Storm. You didn't have the opportunity to be like, and I just got to really say thank you so much. This has been an incredible desert-based opportunity. I love blowing up people I don't know. Like, no, that is not a you. You volunteered. It's not like you don't get drafted anymore. You went.
Well, it's still a very difficult thing. And oftentimes people are tricked. And be aware that when you give your life to the government, you are giving yourself to an entity that really is not going to have your best interest in mind all the time. Be very, very safe when you're just trying to get out of school because you don't want to go to math class when the recruiter comes in, because they'll have you sign a document right there.
And this is almost the worst time to sign up for the Army, because we're fresh out of one war and we're just so ready to get into another one. They just can't fucking wait to get into another one. So they might deploy you better. And it'll be a new war. It won't be like the old war where everyone got used to it.
It'll be a nice day to be a sniper. So this is what German says. He says, my next dream is to invent something that is useful. So I don't know what that means.
From jail?
No, I don't think he's going to get... I think this is like maybe... I don't think you need to come back to the office, but he doesn't need to go to prison.
Yeah, I mean, he's fired.
Let's just have... I mean, I also do think like...
I would fire him. I would say, you might need to be fired.
Well, just for his own sake, just to be like, you don't like it here. We know you don't. It's obvious that there's issues. You know, he was a former diesel mechanic. He can get some work.
Of course. I mean, until they find out that he's developed to kill us about his last office that he was in. Even if it was satire, it's really difficult. It's hard when that's a note on your LinkedIn.
Yeah. I would scrub it.
Are you going to hire this man?
Do we need any? No, we're fine.
How about your own personal mechanic for your car? Like your Jay Leno.
I don't have a diesel.
Jay
Leno should hire
him. And he's just a normal guy. He comes right with his car magazines and he'll just sit there and read them all day. He loves his magazines.
I want to talk about, remember this one story? And this is just something, it wasn't in the email, but do you remember the Susan Smith story?
Yes.
So this is a story, Susan Smith. Now, this story, before the internet, before, why true crime now? Okay, true crime forever. This story captivated America.
Absolutely. It's very sad.
Yeah, this woman killed her two sons. She drove them into the water. This was in South Carolina.
And
her name
not
is
like,
Susan Smith. But you know what? She has a lover now. And she's writing letters to her new boyfriend. She's 50 years old. She's serving a life sentence at Leith Correctional Institution in Greenwood.
Well, it's same Casey Anthony joke of, it's like, you don't have to worry about getting her pregnant.
That is very true. I mean, she's 50, so you wouldn't anyway, but
you could still get pregnant after 50.
Again, dandelions, we can't talk about that. Let alone the other candy. When can you get pregnant?
I know female biology so well. I know about the guts inside of you fucking whatever you are. I know what you got, right? And guess what, man? You jizz up in there. It depends on how wily the fucking gunk is. All right, and how thick your eggs are. Technically, I think you can pop them out every once in a while. I think the oldest person to have a baby was like 75. Her name's like, was that Sojourner Truth? Am I incorrect? Is that Grandma Moses? No, Grandma Moses started painting at 70.
That's totally different than having a kid.
Whatever, man.
So Susan Smith's time behind bars has been fought with disciplinary actions, illicit drug use, self-mutilation, and sexual contact with a guard. However, she has been behaving herself recently
Her guard?
I think so.
However, she's kind of attractive.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, she killed her two kids, which I always like, that takes her down a couple.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, what you noticed when she was younger, she's like, this is going to be controversial. She had a bit of a glow up in jail. She seems to have been working out, and look at her skin. Look, this is her in jail, right? She's kind of looking, she's looking kind of frumpy.
That's not a glow up.
No, dude, she's looking kind of like, if you look back and forth, it looks sort of like, remember Anne Hathaway, what was it, with the princess movie where she's like, she's the dumpy, and then all of a sudden she's like, oh, her hair's straight. What a beautiful
difference.
Princess.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing. Look at that. She's way more attractive when she's 50.
You know, I actually can't disagree with you too much on that. Okay, good point. Point noted. She hopes to be released or paroled in November of 2024. And if a member of her family tells people that she has started a new long-distance relationship that she helps will continue.
Oh, every one of her relationships are long-distance. Released. She's on fucking, she's in jail.
But I'll tell you one thing. If I'm this romantic partner, you better pray to God she doesn't get released, because I've seen Love After Lockup, man. It takes a second, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's been pretty well incarcerated at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And again, that's up for other people to decide if she should or not. But the family says they write letters all the time. Again, what else is she supposed to do? And then they say they started about a year ago, handwritten letters about what their future will be. She's very romantic like that, always wanting to find the happily ever after. The man is in his mid-40s and lives in Columbia, South Carolina.
She's not the woman that I thought she was, because Susan Smith did it to get, to literally, like, she did it the most brutal way possible, because she did it to get rid of her kids in order to make room for a new lover.
Yes.
I believe it, who I was confusing it was Andrea Yates.
Oh, sure,
sure. Who was the one that, who drowned her 5 children because she was in the middle of a complete and total religious paranoid breakdown, which one day, I feel like that's a story we'll do. Marcus kind of always talking
so
about
sad.
And it's sad, but I find it fascinating. I find any family annihilator to be very fascinating, because it's that idea of, like, it is about you in your own way destroying yourself. Like, that's what it is. It's about destroying your lineage and your progeny. Like, yeah. And so it is an extended suicide without the suicide.
And just to make this case even worse, just to remind people what a horrible person this is, in 94, she was then 23, she told police, a black man hijacked my car with my 2 young yes. kids in it.
No, she
and
did
it was
the
9 days.
She did the thing of the, it was some kind of Asian, like.
And I remember, these are all little seeds that planted in us.
Hmm.
I remember the pressers.
Oh, yeah.
Because my mother, she was on this, because my mom was a mother. And she's like, I don't trust that woman. She said, I don't trust her, Benjamin, because it seems like I would never do. I was like, Mom, would you do that to me? She's like, you don't even fit in the trunk. Ben, no, she would never say that.
Honestly, she
but
was just.
It was all a lie. She killed a 3-year-old and a 14-month-old strapped in their car seats.
That's a fucking bummer.
I know.
You've ruined everything. You've ruined the entire flow. Look at what he's ruined the show. Now we have to go. We got to dig our way out.
And to Henry's point, she was secretly dating a man who didn't want children. Don't date this woman.
Just honestly, again, well, how many times we've said this throughout the history of Last Podcast on the Left? If you feel the need to kill your children or your family, just leave them.
Just leave them.
It's better. Like, yes, will they be fucking warped for life? Sure. But it is so much better to leave them at the fire station and then just go and live your stupid life. Because guess what, man? That person that allows you to leave your kids at a fire station, I'm gonna go out on a limb here, probably is gonna shoot you in the head later on in your life. Well, so know that if you are in a scenario where you feel like you have to give up your whole family to be with somebody, it's not a good scenario.
It is absolutely not. In 2015, Smith wrote a letter to the state, and she says she's just been misunderstood. She says, I'm not the monster society thinks I am.
What?
I am far from it. You
how
can't be
the,
that far from
yeah,
it.
How are you not?
Well, she says, this is what she says. She said, something went very wrong that night. I was not myself. Then she says, I was a good mother and I loved my boys. There was no motive, as it wasn't even a planned event. I was not in my right mind.
If
I'm not myself, protest. I eat ice cream like I did last night. I'm like, usually I don't eat ice cream, but I'm not myself tonight.
If I'm feeling bad, I fucking had a thing of like a whole thing of guacamole. Night horse comes.
Yeah, I didn't.
That's what I'm like.
I'm just not myself as I'm drowning Puffin. It's just not. That's like not appropriate.
No. Because you had a plan to drown Puffin then. Like, if you have enough of a plan that it happens, there's a plan. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I don't even want to think about that. That's why no more pools for me, because Puffin fell in one time and he's like,
no.
He's got too much fur. He's going to drown.
And he's not a natural swimmer.
No, he's not. He's a tree creature. Anyway.
He's a Spitz?
A Japanese Spitz.
Oh.
Absolutely. Don't Google that. Okay, so Smith's ex-husband and father of the boys, he told people in 2010 that he's never fully recovered. And he says, there's always this nagging and gnawing headache.
Yeah, I bet.
Which I can imagine.
Which kind of like the guy who wrote the kill list. And you see, he didn't write a kill list. He just went on and lived his sad life.
Yeah, that's the thing. What's worse, the list or killing 2 people?
I don't know. You know what he needs to do? Flip some houses.
Why?
Keep your hands busy.
That's so you think so he's no longer in the office setting. He and Susan Smith, maybe they can get together.
Oh, I'm talking about the other guy.
Flip a couple
that
of houses.
Guy, I'm talking about Susan Smith's
former
husband.
Oh, yeah, flip some houses.
Yeah, you know, Ken German is just, I don't know what the hell he's going to do.
Yeah, we don't really know.
Live from your grave.
All right, this week's Hero of the Week, a special shout out to one hero, but he's not going to be the Hero of the Week, but he is a hero. His name is Jeff. Yep. And I saw him at the airport. On the way to Atlanta from Atlanta.
He's just a man that you met?
He's a pilot.
Okay.
And he was in full pilot gear.
Should be. Said, good.
Yes. And, he was sober. Weird. And he was sober.
Well, this is why he's the hero. It's because he arrived sober.
He's partly a hero. Yes. Because he arrived sober. Because apparently Henry was telling me a story where another person's flight said, he said it was delayed because the pilot showed up hammered.
There's been two flights in a row that I've been out there where they said the pilot showed up. Because now they're doing, because of the one that happened like two or 3 weeks ago where a pilot showed up hammered. And apparently they do random breathalyzer tests. And they did it. And then he was fucking actually visibly drunk, so he had to leave. And so I was waiting online for a flight, and this guy came up and he's like, "Hey, tell me, Delta, you're lucky. The last flight they fucking had to cancel because the pilot showed up drunk."
I know, because they've had a double. I'm the pilot.
It's me. I know I'm not one anymore. Now I'm a citizen. But they went and go, and they now are doubling up on the breathalyzers to get you onto the plane.
Well, you know, the only thing that comforts me again is the plane wants to stay in the air, and the plane does most of the flying, although the landing and takeoffs are important.
It's all on the pilot.
Yeah. All right. But so, Jeff, thank you. It was great to meet you in the airport, and thank you for flying safely, and thank you for getting people to their destinations on time and safely, or at the very least safely and on time at best. All right. But the hero of the week, security guards, Baltimore. I love this story. So the security guards at the Baltimore Museum of Art, they, you know, they do everything. They tell people where the bathroom is.
Oh,
they
yes.
help people do everything. But now
they save the art.
They have been.
I got too close to a bonsai tree at Huntington Library and had security fucking all over me. And I wasn't going to do anything. I wasn't going to do anything.
Well, now there is a special expedition at the BMA curated entirely by the security detail. It's 17 members. They were selected. They were each asked to select three pieces of art that they wanted to exhibit, and it's called Guarding the Art. And over the early days of the pandemic, they were tutored on how to curate, set lighting, and write placards, which also makes it seem like they were asked to do far more than they actually had to do
yes.
or should have been doing. But nonetheless, I think it's really cool that the guards are curating the entire museum, and I think it's important to remember that everyone, art is subjective and it's universal.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to be some snobby McSnobby Snobberson to be like, no, that's good art. It's like, no, that's a banana taped to a goddamn wall and you're a moron. So I'm just proud of the guards. Among the guards is Alex Lees. They chose three works of Winslow Homer's Waiting for an Answer. He says, it's strangely reflective of the experience of being a guard, a job most made up of waiting.
Oh, that's good. That's a good story.
Much like a baseball player, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes, this is according to another guard,
Hurry
Rob Kempton.
Wait. That's what we do in film.
That's right. I've always thought that these are the best moments to create conversation among visitors where we can have commonality already. So isn't that nice? So
that
security
nice.
Guards at the Baltimore Museum of Art, you are Hero of the Week, and congratulations on curating an entire exhibit. And we need to treat everyone special because they are, aren't they?
Some people aren't. I'm going to say some people aren't.
Some people may kill us. Some people may kill their kids.
The key is to treat everybody. I don't say treat everybody like they're special. Treat everybody like a person.
Like a person. Absolutely yes. correct. All right. There you go. Love my good old security guards.
No, I do too. Here's some listener emails.
Please, God, don't be about flowers.
Anything but about flowers. I asked last time about what would a cop would say if they found the Randy Kraft, like that style of someone with a decap, like a fucking cut off penis, like in the passenger seat, yeah. someone's car. And one officer wrote in to say, if I were to pull over a car and discover a grisly scene such as that one, my reaction would be a mixture of, fuck me, this is at least 4 hours of paperwork.
Okay.
And a little bit of, ooh, this is a spicy story to tell over the dinner later. So yes, what I said, he's like, it's just one of those where it's like, if you're into the job, you're into the job.
But the paperwork really is 90% of the job, isn't it?
My dad talked about it all the time, and it's an entire cop's entire, and besides just going, you know, like, wee, wee, wee.
You know, you would think with technology being what it is, pictures, film, can you do a video diary instead of writing?
I mean, they I feel like they all should be thankful for them all wearing the body cams. I think that is really a good thing for them.
I will say they could use some different direction because the body cams are a lot of times like, what am I looking at here? It's like, when you find Bigfoot?
Yes. But at least somebody, they need an editor.
That's a good point.
Now, I asked last time, what would it smell like in Kraft, Randy Kraft's car? Because we said about how his car was like soaked with blood for all this time. And I got this one really fun answer.
All right.
I have been a paramedic in one of the most violent cities in America for 8 years.
Oh, let me guess. Baltimore.
I don't know. I didn't say. So I've got a pretty good nose for it. Blood is a very distinct smell in large volumes. It's not unpleasant, but it's not pleasing either. It smells metallic, somewhat sweet. It's a smell that is distinct, like a handful of wet coins. As it ages, the plasma begins to take over the odor due to saponification, overpowering the iron, and it begins to smell more pungent. Huh. It burns the nose a little bit and smells simply wrong. It's somewhat a painful smell. It's distinctly sour and sharp. The best daily analog I have is the smell of ground beef that's gone past a sour.
Okay.
All right. Organs, though, add a different element to that. Abdominal organs, especially, have a very unique acrid smell that has no congruence with anything I've encountered elsewhere. The liver has a smell I can only describe as greasy, and bits of brain, if they are or were at all applicable, smell uniquely highly of metal. Due to Kraft's fixation of genitalia, I'm sure an aspect of urine smell comes into play, which just adds to a layer of disgusting.
Wow.
Okay, yes, greasy. He said, honestly, his car would probably be considered a hazmat situation by smell alone.
Oh my God. And he would just go in there every freaking day. Time to make the donuts.
Okay. So do you want a, let me ask you this for before
Ooh,
I,
dealer's
before
choice.
I ask you, dealer's choice. Do you want a magician story or a story about sounding? Because we've done a lot of sounding. Let's do the magician.
Sounding is sound. We know what sounding is.
We have done a lot. This was female sounding, and mostly they
in
just
in their pee hole.
They say that mostly the woman who put the glass up her pee hole is insane. That most of the two of them have been like, I'm a responsible sounder.
Okay.
I use a tire iron. You know what I mean? Like that's
good.
What they say. Like, no, I boil it. I use a thinner piece, not whatever that woman.
Let's go to the wonderful world of magic.
Sure. Your stories this week about magicians and hypnotism reminded me of one of the most shameful era of my life. The 2 years I spent in my university's magic society. My boyfriend at the time was an amateur magician and encouraged me to join so we could hang out more.
Aww.
As one of only two women among about 30 men,
I
was constantly subjected to comments about being a quote-unquote hot assistant when I was actually better at it than my boyfriend was. Some of my favorite moments include the time we hired a professional hypnotist to give us a lesson, and the first thing he did was somehow make a guy come in his pants. Said hypnotist then robbing money from all of our bags. We went to a bar afterwards.
Great.
One guy attempting to hypnotize a woman on a night out who then rightly called the police. The president of the society bringing his creepy stepdad to our meetings. One night, the stepdad sexually assaulted me, and I had to get him banned from campus because the president didn't want to stop bringing him to hang out with us.
Oh, my goodness.
It was rough.
Come on, guys.
So I guess the moral of the story is don't trust people whose main hobby is wanting to deceive people.
You know what? It's not a recommendation to date a magician, is it?
It is not. And then one last thing about shortchange artists. We talked about this. I'm a reformed criminal. It's like, this is really interesting. I was a professional shoplifter for about 5 years and solely made my income from it. I also dabbed in shortchanging various cons. Shortchange artists are a dying breed, but there's really an art to it. You have to have a mouthpiece on you and be able to stay ahead of whoever you're speaking to. Usually when you are shortchanging, you insist that you gave the teller a $100 bill, but you really gave them a $10 bill. Then you just run mental laps around them until they are convinced that they are wrong. Not everyone will fall for it, but more than you would think do. It also helps make sure that the place of business is extremely busy and has been for a while.
Ah, so they just want to get you out of there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're trying to end the conversation.
Right.
Oh, yes.
All right, everyone.
But that's important. That's the truth. And I will say that is how you know you're being railroaded. When someone is trying to force you to jam you into a decision really fast, especially when you're on the phone, when they call you and they're hitting you with a bunch of answers, never be afraid to be rude.
No.
And I mean, I just dealt with this. You could just be like, fuck you. Leave me alone. Hang up. Like,
absolutely.
You just don't have to talk. Do not engage.
Also, I guess, so this is happening to me. I had four people fake accounts yesterday. I don't know why that happened.
It happens.
I will never address, hey, fan.
It's never been. Kissel literally we do very like light DM exchanges with people I don't know, like, oh, like, oh, hell yeah. Or like,
I will have a full conversation with you, but it will always be like, I'm not going to randomly reach out to you.
He is not going to.
So please, anyway.
All right. Oh, so just live your life every day knowing for a fact, if you're the only way you know you're talking to Ben Kissel, if you can smell him. It goes, oh, you can see him coming. And he sauntering around. Yeah. He smells like chicken wings and beer. Oh. And when all of a sudden you're like, oh, there he is. And you can laugh just thinking about, oh, ha, ha, there he is, the man to entertain me. The big long man. Certainly not inside of my tiny DMs. He couldn't even fit in there. Oh. And then you can love knowing for a fact that you have just conquered the beast that is loving a podcaster.
Indeed.
Because it's difficult when your heart, because our heart belongs to the audience.
It does in many ways. No, I do love having a good conversation with people. And
we had
nothing
so
wrong
much
with
fun.
That.
We were on Beale Street and we were in Memphis,
so
walking down, like meeting a bunch of new people. We had so much fun. Honestly, wow, this weekend really gave me a new lease on life.
Another 1 year of life.
I won't go that far. It was just fun.
All right, everyone. Well, communication is a wonderful thing, and let's communicate more so we don't have fucking freakouts happening all the time.
Seriously, you got to say your feelings.
We are. We're getting back to it. Everyone's just getting used to being around each other again.
We're gonna do it.
Absolutely.
So make sure you guys check out our comic book, last comic book on the left.
Yes, thank you.
Last comic book on the left.
Yes.
For Z2.
Soul Plumber.
That's still out there. We're going to start. One day we will have a graphic novel.
Absolutely.
A compilation. I don't know when we're going to do that. And then
we're going to be in Boston.
Check out us in Boston.
And we're going to be in Mashantucket.
Now, listen, if you are, I'm going to say this. I don't know where the fuck Mashantucket is.
It's in Connecticut.
Sure.
And it's
I don't even know if we're saying it correct because you guys, I'm just going to say this. You guys make shit up about how you pronounce your Connecticut and your Massachusetts cities. You just make it up.
It's Chamberlainville.
Yeah, like, but, I don't know.
I thought it was Mashantucket.
It's spelled like Mashantucket. But if you are anywhere near, come on out.
Please, and it is a casino, and it is not an exaggeration. I love to play my roulette,
he'll
play
be
some three card, so, you know.
And it's that Sunday, it's that Saturday night, too, so we'll be in the casino, and I don't know where else to go in Mashantucket, if that's what it's called.
I don't think there's
so
much
money. We will be at the casino, so come watch Kissel lose money.
Or win money, come on now.
No, 50-50. 50-50.
Yeah, basically, it's true.
And watch me watch from the side. Because I'm just going to go where, if they have a Guy Fieri restaurant, I'll be there.
Oh, buddy, I'll be right there with you. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourselves. Get out there and say hello to people this week. Just try to be a human again.
Yeah.
Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me, you fuckers.
Absolutely. And if you're in a coma right now,
wake up.
Wake up. Number one, wake up. Tickle the toes.
Yeah, if you know somebody who's in a coma and you love them, just go play with their dick and balls and their pussies for a little bit, honestly. If you love them before they went into the coma, obviously.
Not if you're related to them.
I mean, not if you're a brother or sister or whatever. That's weird. That's weird. I'm just saying, if you can get in there and really just try to understand, they might be feeling something on the inside.
Also, I've seen a lot of documents. People are getting stuck in dryers. Be very careful.
Be careful.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.